last couple of weeks, do an overview of some of the scriptures. The New Testament has, I think, 27 chapters in it, starting with the book of Matthew and then Mark. Mark's gospel actually was before Matthew, so we did an overview of Matthew's gospel, did an overview of Mark's gospel, and today we're going to do a little overview in the book of Luke, and then next week John, and then hopefully and prayerfully we can go all the way to the end of the New Testament. Talking about the things of the world, the craziness of the world, in Matthew's gospel chapter 24, Jesus gave us instructions when the trials and the tribulations come at the end of the age. Mark gives us that same information in Mark 13. Luke's gospel also gives us some of the same information. So it's not particular picking on a... That was in Luke 21 where he tells us about the end of the age. Doing an overview of it is to kind of just whet your appetite to see what's in the scriptures. You know, you've heard a lot about the parables, you hear about the stories, and I want to sing to you this morning. I know you're going to be happy about that. Nobody knew I was going to do that except me and the Lord. Judy didn't even know, because when I tell her I'm going to sing, she'll say, "Oh, don't you dare do that." But you know what's special about the book of Luke? It tells the stories of Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear the things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the seaside. Tell me the stories of Jesus. And that's what Luke does. And then we should be able to take that same thing and then tell the stories of Jesus to the children, to the family, and everybody. Talking about a new baby coming into the world. A baby cries. Doctor smiles. New life begins. And the birth of yet another miracle. Just taking a little baby that's just come into the world and looking at him is a miracle. It's God's miracle. The doctor had helped hundreds of babies come into this world, but each one brings a new sense of wonder at the miracle of a birth and a new sense of joy. Luke was a doctor. The summary of the whole Gospel of Luke is telling the stories of Jesus. As a doctor, Luke makes many references to the illnesses and the diagnosis that Luke also emphasized Jesus' relationship with people and gives a prominent place for women. Most of the Gospel of Mark is from chapter 9 through 18. It's not found anywhere else in the Gospels except the Gospel of Luke. So underlying the medical training that Dr. Luke went through and practice, he had a strong sense of compassion. Whether he was delivering a baby or stitching up a wound or dispensing medicines or performing surgeries, they even did surgeries way back then. If you study history and medical history, it's amazing the things that we kind of take for granted in the modern medical society. They were able to do crazy things in helping people to have a better life. The book of Luke is also very unique in this matter. Through the eyes of a compassionate doctor, the compassionate Son of Man is described to us. And as Matthew writes about the King of Kings, Luke writes about the great physician, Jesus. Luke presents Jesus as one who became like us and presents Jesus as one who became suffering like us. He presents Jesus as one who had human temptations because he was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. Things that we face every day, you will find in the stories in Luke's Gospel. Now, Luke and the Apostle Paul were very good friends. In fact, Luke and Paul ministered together later on, as we look, because Luke also wrote the book of Acts, which we'll see when we get a little closer to that. The compassion of Christ makes no distinction between a man and a woman, an adult or a child, or a Jew and a Gentile. Wounded or healthy, he loves us all, every one of us. It's also interesting that Dr. Luke was Greek. He was what they considered a Gentile. He is the only Gentile in the New Testament that wrote a story about Jesus. Only one. He ascended into all humanity, Jesus did, bringing God to us. He is the Christ who mingled with sinners, knelt in prayer, and wept for a city. You remember the story that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He agonized for people's souls, and he suffered on the cross for all of us. So Luke reveals the poetry of the Gospels, opening and closing the book with a psalm. In Luke chapter 2 is the Magnificat, the Song of Mary. Luke also reveals a lot of sharing, the prophecy of Zechariah, the song of the angels. And through Dr. Luke's eyes, we see the wonders of the baby in Bethlehem. The wonders of his birth, so simple and yet so awesome, that we celebrate it every Christmas season. And often, even throughout the whole year, we celebrate the birth of Christ. So the book of Luke is the story of all human dimensions of Jesus. It's important that we know that. That's why it's good to read the book of Luke and see the human dimensions of Christ. He is called the Son of Man, but he is also the Son of God. And he was the ideal person who came out of one of us and bring God to us. So whenever we hurt in life, we can come to this book of compassion, the Gospel of Luke, and read the Christ's compassion for us. And when we see hurt in others and recognize the suffering and the pain or the need, we can also make our way to this Gospel of Luke. It gives us an opportunity to learn how to be a disciple of Christ and how to let his compassion flow through us. Luke also constructs an orderly account of the life of Christ in the ministry, showing him naturally as the Son of God who became the Son of Man in order to seek and save sinful people. You know, that's what I like what Wesley called about prevenient grace. God's Holy Spirit always wooing us into that love relationship. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus is a man whose birth and early life are covered with the fingerprints of God. His qualifications, his physical and spiritual attributes are superb. His ministry, where Jesus identifies the lowly and exhibits compassion and mercy, yet possesses the divine authority. Jesus seeks out the people through healing and through teaching and casting out demons and asking questions. Jesus had a unique way of teaching. He asked questions. You ask him a question, he asks you a question. It's an interesting way of teaching. It's a good way to learn. Questions. And telling the captive stories with the all-inspiring grace and wisdom that can only come from God. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ reverberates through his power to save, the blessed hope that we have in Christ. You see, it is because Jesus suffered, died, and then rose again with his power to save. He said repentance. Luke 24:47 said, repent for the forgiveness of sins, and then my name will be preached in all the nations. So when we get saved, that don't mean that we're going to end up in a perfect life. We're going to continue to make mistakes. But when we do, we know where to go. Father, forgive me. Repent. And he will keep us back on that path. It's almost like having guardrails going down the road. You know, if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, you can drift off here. But those guardrails will keep us straight. And that's what God does through his love in Jesus. But Luke also paints Jesus as a brilliant, gorgeous, powerful man who extends salvation to sinners. But now, the scriptures also know, and we don't have a picture of Jesus. Some of the pictures you see in the churches is man's thoughts about what Jesus could look like. But it said in Isaiah that Jesus is comely. In other words, he's just like a common person. The hurting people, the common folks, and the foreigners, the outcasts, were captivated by Christ because of his message. And while proud and arrogant, you know what most of them did? Was rejecting. The personalities that surround our Lord are colorfully described by Luke. They include Zechariah and Elizabeth, the angel of Gabriel, Joseph, Mary, the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist, the awestruck shepherds and the angels, and Simeon and Anna, and Herod, the devil of a possessed person, Simon's mother-in-law, the 12 disciples with special attention given to Peter, a leopard, Pharisees, teachers of the law, a centurion with great faith, a widow and her son, a synagogue ruler named Jairus and his daughter, and a woman with an issue of blood. Luke talks about the feeding of the 5,000 men, Moses and Elijah, and 72 thrilled disciples. Sometimes we only think of the 12, but then Jesus sent others out. He sent 72 out to tell the known world at that time about the love of God that's revealed through Christ. The two crucified criminals are in the book of Luke. One was abusive and the other repentant. The one said, "If you're the Son of God, get down off of this cross." And he was mocking Jesus. But what did the other one do? He realized there was something special about Jesus. And he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said something very special. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And I find it interesting what he didn't say, because the Roman soldiers was there, and that one centurion is at the end when he gave up the ghost. He said, "Surely this was the Son of God." But what he didn't say when he was hanging on that cross, "Father, this old boy over here wants to go to heaven with me." So he shouted to the soldiers, "Let us down off of this cross for a little bit that I can take him down to the Jordan River and baptize him." He didn't say that. He said, "Today you'll be with me in heaven." Now, baptism is a very important part of our relationship with Christ. He was baptized, so we should be baptized. But it's not a requirement for salvation. Believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you shall be saved. Luke also includes more of Jesus' parables than any other of the gospel writers. In these we meet the sower, a compassionate Samaritan, a shepherd with one lost sheep, a woman with one lost coin, a father with one outwardly rebellious son. You might remember him. We call him the prodigal son. But he had another son that was inwardly rebellious. A shrewd manager in the parable, the rich man and the poor man and the persistent widow, a Pharisee, a tax collector, 10 servants entrusted with money, the owner of a vineyard, and his tenants. Now, the places that we visit along the way as we take that journey with Luke through the gospel that he wrote, he was an eyewitness to these things, and we're so grateful that they wrote these things down that we have them today, 2,000 plus years later. We go along with Luke, and Jesus goes into the temple. We go to Nazareth, we go to Judea, we go to Bethlehem, we go to the shepherd's field, we go to the Jordan River, the desert, Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee, Nain, the region of the Gerasenes and Bethsaida, in a Samaritan village. We go to Jericho, we go to Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives. We go to the upper room of the high priest's house And then we also go to a place called the skull, Golgotha. And then also very interesting, we go on the road to Emmaus in the vicinity of Bethany. Now, we have a, I know John and Mike is what took that journey on the walk to Emmaus. It's a three-day retreat, basically, based on Luke's gospel is what it is. But it's a special time to walk with Christ. We'll go look at that a little bit later. Forgiveness is one of the key things in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 7, verse 47 says, "Therefore I tell you how many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." Jesus said, "But whoever forgives little, loves little." And in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus withdrew, as I'm talking about with the kids, to lonely places and prayed. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. So what does it matter that we look at the book of Luke or Mark or Matthew or any of the other gospels? The stories of Jesus is told all the way from the Genesis to the book of Revelation. Jesus in the Old Testament was concealed, but he was there. The New Testament is Jesus revealed to the world. And Luke takes and presents a unique life of the Son of Man to awaken the deep faith of his readers. He's able to identify with love and to understand how it is to be saved. But I think the most significant point of the application is this. Do we need to have faith in this Savior? Or are we like the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter with a yearning to return to the Father's house and to have that loving embrace? Luke's gospel calls people to a radical discipleship. Jesus was radical. They thought that he was coming only as a political Messiah that was going to help them be delivered from the bondage that the Romans had at that time in Israel. But that's not what he came for. He came in a radical way to show us that we can have discipleship with him and to understand the love that even though we are lowly sinners, he was able to live this life sinless. And the reason that he did is to show us that it can be done, but also to show us that we fall short of that at times. And when we fall short, we can simply repent, ask for forgiveness. That's what makes Jesus so credible, that he lived a sinless life. Of course, he knew what God had called him to do. He struggled with it before the cross that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Struggled with what God challenged him to do and prepared him to do. But he stayed faithful to God, and he was able to fulfill it. Because if he didn't or wouldn't have, we would not have the saving grace of God. And that's why when Jesus hung on the cross, when he said, my God, why have thou forgiven me? He had the sins of the world on his shoulders, and God cannot be in a place where sin abounds. He felt that brief separation. But when he gave up the ghost, that love, that grace, and that forgiveness was shared with us because he paid the sacrificial price with his own blood, the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of the world. That's why we celebrate communion, why we take that opportunity to share and remember. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me, who died so that you may live." He said also that in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it was not so, I would tell you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is our ticket to heaven. And we got to make sure that we make that reservation. Because in this life, We don't never know how long it's going to be, how long we're going to be here. We don't know when Christ is going to return. So we need to stay ready. And just like Kobe Bryant, he had no idea when he left to go home, went home and get in that helicopter, and boom. We're all vulnerable. So we need to make sure that we have that right relationship with God, that we can spend an eternity with Him. It's important. It's personal. I can't give you my faith. You can't give me your faith. It's something personal. And how you can have that personal relationship is through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit.